Let's take out our Bibles together. If you have a Bible, like a printed Bible or a Bible on your phone this morning, it is the book of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 is the second book in the Bible. And we're going to read a few verses from that chapter in a few moments. We have just come out of a series of messages on the Holy Spirit's, or God's empowering presence, or the Spirit of Jesus. And I'm so thankful for our series together. What happened the last number of weeks, that doesn't always happen, but what happened the last number of weeks is I sort of sensed there were some conversations going on that you were having with each other, some of you were having with me, because we were talking about the Holy Spirit, which we haven't done very much here at Nelson Avenue. So I'm thankful for those conversations. What it seems to me is whenever we mention the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit, we spend some time talking about the Holy Spirit. It feels like to me, people, I don't know, they start opening up. Like, oh, I've had an experience. I've sensed the spirits. Here's my story. So thank you for those who've shared those stories on Sunday mornings in our services, but also my sense is some of you talking together about what the Spirit of God's been doing in your life, whether recently or many years ago. This morning we're kind of, although I'll say a few more words about that in a few moments, we're kind of leaving that series and we're moving into a new series. And I just need a little drum roll here. A little new series, a new sermon series. Anyone can do a drum roll from there? We go, okay. A new series on the Ten Commandments. Now, I expected maybe a bit more of a yay. We're going to actually get to that because this was sort of maybe what I thought would happen. You know, a series on the Ten Commandments. Now, I know that for some of us, and I'm going to get to this in a few moments, that doesn't sound very exciting. I know. And we've kind of left our series on the Holy Spirit, but not really, right? Not really, because God tells us in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, he says, you can't read that. That didn't come out very well. Then you have to listen to me. I will put my Spirit in you. This is a promise of the new covenants, what God will do through Jesus. I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So even though it feels like we're leaving talking about the Spirit, really we're not, because any talk about the law of God or the will of God or doing what God wants us to do is only ever possible because the Spirit of God is empowering us to do what God calls us to do. So we're not really leaving talking about the Spirit's. We're recognizing this morning the Spirit is also part of this new series that we're going to start this morning for the season of Lent. Very providentially for me, about 3 weeks ago, I think someone gave me a book called Bearing God's Name by Carmen Joy Imes. She's a professor at Prairie College in Three Hills, Alberta, wrote this great book on the book of Exodus, the law, Mount Sinai, and then traced it through the Bible. She picked up one particular commandment, and we'll talk about that maybe in coming weeks. But I'm so thankful for that book because it gave me a new perspective on this new sermon series we're starting, not just the Ten Commandments, but how to think about the law in general. So because of that, I don't want to call the series the Ten Commandments. I want to call the series The Good Life. Because I think, and especially this morning, but also coming weeks, if we hear what the law is really meant to do and be in our lives, it's meant to lead us into the good life that God has for us. So not negative, not, oh, the law, but rather, wow, the law is freeing me to lead the life, live the life that God's called me to live. So having said that, let me invite Grace to come up. Grace Usui, I believe. to read just a few verses, the opening verses from Exodus chapter 20.
The Bible reading is coming from the book of Exodus 20, verse 1 to 3, the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Now, I already know, I think, your reaction, because I've already had the reaction, but when we use the word like law, if you hear the word law, what kind of image or what kind of connotation does that word have for you? Pardon me? Yes, legalism. That's a good word, right? Well, it's a good word to describe, I think, how people think about the law. I would assume, if you're a little bit like me, you hear the word law, I start thinking about lists, do's and don'ts, someone trying to box me in, someone trying to hem me in, someone trying to maybe take away the fun in my life. And law, for many people, I think, doesn't have the same kind of impact or connotation like a word home. I think for most people, home has, well, yeah, home. That sounds good. Or the word like friend. I think friend has a lot of positive connotations for people. But if you say the word law or legal or Ten Commandments, not a lot of woohoo, even though I got a little woohoo this morning, but that was a little bit, you know, after a little bit of prompting, right? So most of us, Ten Commandments, law, God's will, not really all that exciting. And I think one, it's not the only, but one reason for that is the way that at least I would have answered the following question, and maybe the way you do or you have, when we ask the question, how did people in the Old Testament, how were they saved? What was the means of salvation in the Old Testament? I would have said, especially when I was a child, a youth, early 20s maybe, I would have said, well, in the Old Testament, if you did what God wanted you to do, if you kept his law, then he was going to save you. He was going to love you. He was going to approve of you, right? So my understanding was, first the law, first do what you have to do, and then the blessing of God will come. Then God's going to save you and free you and be good to you. And we call that, at least in religious language, we call that a kind of works righteousness. Or it could be a kind of legalism or kind of a work salvation. That's what my understanding of the Old Testament was. If you do the work, if you keep the law, that's the way God set it up, then he's going to save you, then he's going to redeem you, then he's going to free you. Now, Carmen, very thankfully, in her book, says this about that view of the Old Testament. Many Christians assume that in the Old Testament era, the Israelites had to earn salvation by following the Sinai law, while Jesus, and that was my view, then Jesus comes along, did away with that notion, making salvation available for free. This is a terribly unfortunate caricature of the Old Testament, but it is easily resolved by taking a look at the story. Now, that's kind of a big claim. I think Carmen is right. I think some Christians, and that's why we sometimes have this negative view of the law, I got to keep the law. Or, at least in the Old Testament, I have to keep the law, and then I'm going to experience the blessing of God. And she says, we can rectify that view by looking at the story. So let me just look at the story rather quickly this morning. I know we only read three verses. We don't typically only read three verses on Sunday morning, but those verses are really important, especially Exodus 20, verse 2, Whereas God begins to give his Ten Commandments, he doesn't just begin launching into what you should or shouldn't do. He begins by saying this very important phrase, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. That's the context. Before I tell you anything you should or should not do, let me tell you, let me remind you what I've done, what God has done. I have freed you. I have saved you. I have taken you out of Pharaoh's grip. I have taken you out of the land of slavery. I have done all of this, and now I'm going to give you these 10 words. Very much like the earlier chapter, Exodus chapter 19, where God says, I bore you, it's a wonderful image, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That's what I did. It's like the eagle bird got some eaglets. I think it's what we call baby eagles, eaglets. Anyhow, baby birds, the mother or father bird, the mother or father eagle, fire coming, predator coming, something is going to harm these baby birds. I'm going to scoop them up. I'm going to bring them somewhere safe. But for me, what's so amazing is God just, he doesn't just say, oh, I saved you. He did that. I redeemed you. I took you out of slavery. I carried you as on eagle's wings. He says, I did all of that to bring you to myself. Which for me is almost the whole Bible in a few words. All that God does, Old Testament, New Testament, through Moses, of course, most perfectly through Jesus, all of it is to bring us to himself, to draw us near. Not just to save us and plunk us somewhere, but to save us and then bring us into his presence. And these couple of verses from Exodus 20 and 19 really talk about the whole structure of Exodus, right? So Exodus structure, if you read the story, which we've been doing last fall a little bit, it's all about, first part, get the deliverer. My people are in trouble, God sees and notices. In Egypt, they're in slavery. Get the deliverer, and I'm going to bring the deliverer, and I'm going to send the deliverer, and I'm going to deliver my people. I'm going to bring them out of Egypt, all these 10 wonders. I'm even going to bring them through this Red Sea. And then finally, I'm going to bring them to Mount Sinai and give them my law. I want to suggest to you that there are times, not just time, a few times, many, many times, the structure of the Bible book is itself inspired. This is really important for us to see. It's first salvation, first liberation, first freedom, first God working and performing miracles in Egypt and doing all this stuff. And then, finally, I'm on Sinai, it's the law. If Exodus had been structured like this, I'm going to give you the law first, my people. So listen up. Slaves in Egypt, here's the law. And now we're going to see if I free you. It would have told us, oh, first the law, first do what God says, first try and be good, and then maybe he'll free us, or maybe he will free us, but no, the structure is first God works, first God frees, first God liberates, then he redeems. He does all this stuff, and then comes the law. Which means the law is always response to what God has done. That's the intention of the law. It's not to earn salvation, get God's approval, get this freedom we so much want, but it is always in response to what God has done. At least in the tradition that Nelson Avenue is part of, when I was a child, they try to tell me, because every Sunday, almost every Sunday, I heard the Ten Commandments, and the pastors try to tell me this is supposed to be a response of thanksgiving. So not to get God to love you, not to get God to approve you, but because all of what God has done through Jesus Christ, this is one way, and in the Ten Commandments many ways, of responding and thanking God for what he's done. So this morning, one of the ways that we could talk about that is to say, the law is not religion. The law is not religion. The law is meant to be gospel. Believe it or not, I know some of us probably this morning don't believe that. That's okay for this morning. Well, what I'm trying to suggest is the law is not, oh, man, how am I going to do all this stuff so God will love me, God will approve me, God will bless me, God will give me grace? The law is God has given me grace, God has given me blessing, God has approved of me and loved me through Jesus Christ. And even in the book of Exodus, God has done all this stuff already. He has already freed us. And now how are we going to live in this free, this realm of freedom, this realm of salvation? I don't have to get myself in the realm. I'm in the realm already. Now what does it look like to be a freed person or a saved person or a blessed person or someone who's experienced the grace and the goodness of God? So I want to go back to the earlier slide, Larry. I know I've mentioned this before. I actually can't get enough of this quote. That's why I keep putting it up in various sermons. It's been so helpful for me thinking about my life, how I live, how I think about the Christian life. Tim Keller, how religion works, that's how I used to think, and I still do sometimes. If I obey, then God will love me. That's not the function of the law in the Old Testament, nor anywhere in the Bible. The gospel says, I'm loved and accepted. I'm freed. I'm saved. God's done something in my life. He's blessed me. Hopefully, I want to obey. I want to follow this God who's been so good to me. And so implications of that is the law is never meant to be working for God's approval, working for God's love, working for God's grace. It's always meant to be some kind of response. And I want to say the law is always specifically for the redeemed. The law is meant to be for people who've tasted that God is good, who've tasted the salvation of God. And they're now in this realm, or I would say maybe even a land, of freedom and grace and goodness. And now how are we going to live with God and each other in this new realm? For many authors in the Bible, and this is what I'm still trying to, you know, own for myself, the law is not bad. The law is not, oh man, the law. The law is good. The law is gift. The law is even, they will say, believe it or not, delight. Anybody believe that this morning? Not a lot of hands, which I understand. I understand. Right? So this, I don't know if you know this long psalm in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. Like nobody really ever has time to read the whole thing. Right at the end, this is so amazing, so tough to believe as well. Psalm 119, 174, I have longed for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. And this is just a radically different way of thinking about law than most of us have, because the author is not thinking, I have to earn salvation. Even the word, even the way the verse goes, I've longed for your salvation, O Lord. My sense is I've received it. I longed for it. You gave it to me. And now your law is my delight. Salvation first and then the law. Not law first and then maybe I get saved or I get God's grace and goodness. No, it's all the goodness first and then I receive the law as a gift and a treasure. Now, the way that I think this is supposed to work, and as we look at the law, the Ten Commandments, but other places also in the Bible in coming weeks, the way it's supposed to work is the Bible says we're made for God and we're made for each other. These are the two main realities in the human experience. Made for God, made for each other, and the law is meant to free us to live a life with God and with each other. That's how the Ten Commandments are structured, right? It begins with God, and then it talks about life with each other, and these are the two great realities. And if we can live into the treasure that's God's law, receive it as gift and treasure for us, then we start living a life of freedom. So here's how it's supposed to work, I think, right? So I think about the commandments, do not murder. Do not murder, which is a commandment. If we hear it, it's meant to be, Pastor Yo, don't murder. But also, anyone here this morning who hears that command, don't murder. And if you could live in a society where no one murdered, try to imagine that. If no one on the earth murdered anyone, what could I do? I could walk around any time of the day, anywhere on the earth, and not have to worry. I could send my girls, our girls, out any time of the day and not have to worry they're going to get murdered. I'm assuming other things will not happen either, right? So if people could live, now at first it seems like, oh, so restrictive when you say we can't do something. But if people are freed not to do what our sinful desires want us to do, then we're free to walk and wander and stroll and not have to worry about, oh, someone could be around that bush. You know, sometimes I'm jogging at night in Edmonds area, and I wouldn't say I'm scared, but someone's looking around. I think it's good to just be aware of your surroundings, but if I didn't have to worry about anyone attacking me or hurting me or murdering me, imagine the freedom you have just walking around. I could walk anywhere, any time of the day. It wouldn't matter anymore. I think about the command or the law, don't steal. Now, this past week, I'm not going to tell the whole story. Someone stole something from me. The catalytic converter on my Lamborghini. You know, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I dropped off my car. I picked it up later on. My car, my Lamborghini, quite quiet. It's not really that, doesn't sound, you don't really, I turn it on. What happened? Something with the muffler, I thought. Take it to quiet muffler. The guy tells me, you know, someone stole, I've never seen it before. It looks like a honeycomb, like this big. They're going to get like maybe $50 for it. Or $100 maybe. Now it cost me $700 to get it fixed. Now I'm thinking, you know, it's just a little thing. But imagine if he hadn't stolen that. Imagine if we didn't have to worry about people stealing stuff. Right? I mean, I'm free to leave my car wherever I want to. I shouldn't have left it where I did. That's all I'll say about that this morning. But imagine if I didn't have to worry about someone stealing my catalytic converter off my Lamborghini. I can leave it wherever. I don't even have to lock the doors anymore. I'm just free. It could be locked. It could be unlocked. And I'm also free with my money more. Now I had to use money to get a new one. So what seems like restriction, oh, you can't. If we live that kind of life together as a society, as people, all the freedom that could happen. This morning I want to call us into, over the next few weeks, thinking about the law as something good for us. I want to suggest that as we embrace God's law and think about His law as gift and treasure, as we think about His law as a way for us to live the good life, that God wants to free us to live the lives we're supposed to live as human beings. Someone might say, well, is that kind of like, you know, eating broccoli, like it's good for you? Brussels sprouts? I want to say, well, for me, it'd be more like eating grapes and oranges, right? Like, I know broccoli and Brussels sprouts are good for you, but for me, it's helpful to think, oh, I love fruits. So I would use that image in terms of what it's like to do or to follow the law of God. Or you might say, is that kind of like exercise? And I say, well, I think it is, as long as you're thinking about a kind of exercise that you want to do, right? Something that you feel engaged in. And I feel this morning like I want to, I need some help, maybe this week or coming weeks. How can we express in an image or with some words the goodness of the law? If anyone's experienced that in their lives, where you say, oh, I've been following God in this way, and it's been great, it's been good. I've experienced the goodness or the giftedness of the law, I would love to hear that, because even this morning, I'm trying to express it, but I'm thinking we need some help from each other, from the community. How have we experienced that in our lives? The law as freeing us to live the lives God's calling us to live. Now, it is the season of Lent. So hopefully you've heard that this morning. It's the first Sunday of Lent. And what I'd like to do in coming weeks, and including this morning, is to say, oh, is there something that we could do in response to the message? Maybe giving something up, maybe carving aside some time for us to hear the law of God or the calling of Jesus in our lives and to embrace that. So I was just reading this article this past week, 10 things to give up for Lent that aren't Diet Coke. So the author was saying, you know, giving up Coke or chocolates, that's all fine, but how about some other things? So here's just three examples, and these are really tough, right? I'm not saying this is easy. But don't put up your hand. But who of us over the next 40 days could give up complaining? Don't put up your hand. Just say, I'm going to try for 40 days not to complain about my spouse or my kids or my work or my pastor or my church. I'm just going to keep it inside, or I'm going to give it to Jesus. I'm going to say, I can complain to him maybe, but I'm not going to verbalize those complaints for 40 days. Or, and this is a really big one, but like he talked about self-centeredness. Like, could I try for 40 days? That is really tough, I know. I'm going to do my best. I'm still thinking about myself, but I'm going to try to think about others more for 40 days. Or think about that other person more for 40 days. Or he talked about worry. Again, really difficult. But could we try? Because some of us try for 40 days. I'm going to try not to worry. Lord, give me 40 days of worry-free existence. This morning, I also want to suggest, especially for those of you who are members of Nelson Avenue, part of our church community, as your pastor, I want to issue a bit of a challenge. For some of us, it'll be easier than others. I want to ask that you carve out 10 minutes of your day. So that could be 10 minutes less on Facebook, 10 minutes less on Twitter, 10 minutes less on Instagram, but 10 minutes, just 10 minutes, to read one chapter from the Bible. I've put some suggestions in the bulletin this morning. Don't have to read those chapters. Really, any chapter will do. 10 minutes, one chapter from the Bible, and then 3 minutes of kneeling prayer. Now, why this kneeling prayer? For me, the last while, this has become really important to me, kind of revolutionary to me. So I want to commend it to you. I'm not asking you can go longer. I'm not asking for 30 minutes. I'm just saying, could you read a chapter of the Bible and for 3 minutes on your knees, whatever comes to your mind, pray about that, and then go on with your day. That's my suggestion, strong encouragement. I think it would help us. It's helped me. It's helping me. And again, not to say, oh, Pastor Yo said I have to do this and I don't really want to. Why am I doing this? It's all out of guilt. So say, no. Leave him alone. Lord Jesus, I want to meet with you. I want to draw near to you. I need to find a way to do that. Maybe this would help me. It's been helping me. So I commend it to you in my own experience. But 10 minutes over the next 40 days. I know it's for some of us, I'm like, how am I going to find 10 minutes? See what God might do. This morning I'm going to pray in a few moments, and then I'm going to read the Ten Commandments to us one more, well, not one more time. I'm just going to read them really simple version. And this morning I'm going to ask us if we're able to hear those Ten Commandments in a new way, not as this is what you got to do for God to love you, but God has loved you. Here's his will for you. Let me invite the worship team up. We're going to sing in a little bit here. So a prayer, the Ten Commandments, God's blessing, and then our final song. And then we'll be done this morning. So worship team, come on up. So let me pray, and then I'm going to invite you to hear these words for us today, and then blessing and song. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for Nelson Avenue. Thank you for services like this. Thank you for all that you do in our hearts when we gather together in the name of Jesus, singing, praying, listening to your word. And we do pray, Lord, I pray for me, I pray for all of us, that our relationship with your law and your will, something would happen over the next 40 days, a different kind of relationship to when you come and tell us, invite us to do something. We would hear that as words of life. We would hear that as good words. And even this morning, Lord, we would hear your 10 words to us as an invitation into the good life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a reminder, God, the God of the Bible, Yahweh, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he has saved through Jesus, forgiven through Jesus, freed through Jesus, redeemed us through Jesus, given us life through Jesus, and now he says this to us. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not worship false gods. You shall never take my name in vain. You shall keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. And you shall not covet what belongs to others. Let's stand up together, receive God's blessing, and go out with song. So, followers of Jesus, may you go this morning wanting to follow Jesus in the season of Lent. May you hear his voice. May Christ by his Spirit be very near to you. And may you, with anticipation, be waiting and wanting to see what Jesus will do to you during this season. May you receive joy and grace and love and mercy from God this day and always. And all God's people say, amen.